If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello. And welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are going to be chatting about all things pop culture, including but not limited to the Tonys. We've got the first week, the first, I guess, full week of Love Island USA. What a week it was. We've got lots of new music, celebrity romances, celebrity outings. We've got a wedding to discuss, not either of ours. And we don't even know whose wedding it was, but...
And we actually also have a massive vindication to celebrate.
Okay, I want to wait on... I know exactly what you're going to say. And believe me...
I'm ready.
I want to gloat to that one-star review we got that said, time will tell how wrong girls are about JB and BL. And I want to say, then why did the judge strike the $400 million lawsuit? But I haven't done enough research on it yet.
Me either. There's not a ton of information out. But what I do think is a bit telling is that Mr. Put a microphone in
Mr.
front of
Friedman
my face and I'll pay you.
Suspiciously quiet.
We haven't heard a word from him.
And that Mr. is
put,
unusual.
Mr. Put them in the jury in MSG and we'll literally let the public decide.
Hey, Brian Friedman, could we get you quickly just an MSG to do a quick little
update? I'm honestly like, should we
us?
Do a welfare check? Should we? Yeah. I mean, we should send someone to check on
Let's
him.
Let's call the police.
Because it's crazy we even heard.
Well, I'm sure Justin Baldoni and his whole family are already over there. It's the kind of people they are. I'm sure they're already right there to check on them. I don't know. When I saw the headline, I was like, I'm not sharing this to the podcast story. But I'm not ready to, like, gloat, celebrate any of that yet because I want to make sure that, like... But I did read... I'm in this Reddit group. I'm in this Reddit group called It Ends With Court.
Fork found in kitchen, by the way. Caroline said that, like, we were all going to be like, what?
Guys,
you're
okay,
in a Reddit group?
I have to admit I'm in a Reddit group. No, I'm in this Reddit group, and it's called It Ends With Court. And it's basically all these people who are, like, very interested in this case. And it is an objective, non-biased group. So, like, anything that is put in that is too pro-Blake Lively, pro-Baldoni, the moderators will come down and, like, delete it. So it's a really good place to get that objective information. And it's also nice because they all
and
these
Caroline
people,
does fact check. Everybody chill out for a second.
Yeah, I do, like, probably way too much fact checking. Like, I spend a lot
We're
of
not
time
getting everything that we... Not everything we hear is from Twitter.
And basically... I mean, I'll just read this. Okay, so in the group, this was posted today, and it is a snippet
after
about,
the announcement.
Yeah. But what's nice is that all the people in this group, there are lawyers in this group, there are regular pop
you
culture aficionados
be,
like
though?
Us. What?
The rumor is going to be that the moderators are Blake and Ryan.
No, it's not. This group isn't big enough. Yeah, there are only 555 members in this group. So it's, like, not, like, a massive group.
Smaller than our high school.
Smaller than our high school. Okay, so here's the main thing, the conclusion of the big, you know, thing that was posted. The motions to dismiss are granted to dismiss Baldoni's $400 million lawsuit, by the way. The way
Which Brian Friedman said when Blake asked for it to be dismissed, he said that was, like, an abhorrent claim and, like, an attack on our... legal system.
Yeah. So let me read it. The Wayfarer parties have leave to file a second amended complaint by June 23rd, amending only the allegations relevant to the claims of torturous interference with contract and breach of implied covenant. The motions to strike are denied. The motions for fees and damages pursuant to New York civil rights law and California civil code blah, blah, are denied without prejudice to renewal by formal motion. So what this basically means, or what I take it to mean, is that they're saying, hey, that lawsuit that you guys put out was so frivolous. It read mm-hmm. so much like a like prose, like a narrative. Every sentence. Like,
that's what we've been saying since the start.
Exactly. Like, this was not meant to win a $400 million lawsuit. This was meant to get the masses.
It was another smear campaign.
And it worked. Exactly. And it did work.
Totally.
Because people, even now that we have this, where the judge literally, like, it was granted the motion to dismiss this, even now people are still going to say, like, you know, the judge is in their pocket, whatever they're going to say. I haven't seen a whole lot about it yet, and I will be reading in. So if you guys are on Patreon, maybe we'll talk about that on the Patreon podcast this week to get, like, deep into it. But, I mean, that was from the get-go. Like, not only was this lawsuit so, like, inflammatory, incendiary, and meant to be so, and not based in fact, but based in feeling and on belief, you know. Not only that, it was a $400 million lawsuit, which almost never actually ends up, you know, going to court. It was really, as we said at the time, this eye-catching sort of number to get people to tune in and think, oh my God, we need to take these guys seriously, only to find out how unserious that complaint was in the first place, which mm-hmm. if you read it, as I did, you would know. So, like, it read very differently than Blake's. That's what I will say. Is what it is. I know this wasn't the only complaint out there, so this won't be the end of this by any means. And if I know Friedman and Baldoni, they will file an amended complaint. So we have until June 23rd to look out for that. But
I'm really curious to see what the, like, what is there?
You know,
like,
if you take out all of the little facts that you threw
just
in,
the stuff that you think makes her seem unlikable.
Yeah, exactly. Or all these things about, like, it just wasn't relevant. Like, it just wasn't relevant to what this case is actually about. Like, instead of him trying to defend himself and defend and say, I did not sexually harass her, these were not the, you know, this wasn't the situation on set. Instead of that, it was, well, but look what she said this. And look, exactly. She sent this Khaleesi text. And I think that Taylor Swift is threatening me. Like, that is what it was. And so I do feel slightly vindicated, but cautiously vindicated today.
Which is how we felt in January.
Absolutely.
We've learned actually from January. Because in January, when the New York Times piece came out and then it was followed by Blake's complaint, we were immediately like, see?
Yeah.
We knew something was fishy.
Yeah.
We knew something was off. And then Justin completely muddied the waters and we had to kind of double back a little bit and be like, okay, well, maybe we weren't completely vindicated, but I'm feeling a tinge of my January feelings again.
I know. Well, a lot of the other people who were mentioned in Blake's suit, so like Jennifer Abel, Jed Wallace, these people who were involved in the smear, specifically the smear campaign whose texts we got, they have both been trying to file things to say, like, can we take out my text? Can we take out this? Can we take out this? And the judge said, no, 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 no. He's like, sorry, like, it's in the text. There were things that Friedman claimed. There was something where somebody claimed that Blake had cried sexual assault. And that was in a text to Leslie Sloan, who was Blake's publicist.
Not to be confused with Bag of Hair, Leslie Stone.
Exactly. But every time I think of Leslie Sloan, no clue what she looks like,
I picture Leslie Stone.
But she had, and you probably saw these texts, I remember reading them, where it was like she was getting on a plane and she was like, no, there are no claims of sexual assault here. You need to hold this story. Stop it now. I'm getting on a plane. This is urgent. Do not send this story. Because Baldoni's partner, was Jamie Heath, was ready to say, she's crying sexual assault. Well, she never did. That never happened. She never cried sexual assault. And they just proved that. And so basically, like, Jamie Heath was trying to go to his grave saying, yes, she did. It was finally proven, like, no, she didn't. And that was your error. And you misread or you misspoke. And that doesn't mean that it's true. And mm-hmm. so, you know, certain things. I've just been keeping up very casually because I don't want this to ruin my life. But I'm in the group. And what's nice is, like, as I said, it's like all these lawyers. It's also just regular Joes like me. but a lot of them can kind of like decipher what's in these. So if you have questions about like specific lines or what these things mean, a lot of these lawyers are like, let me just break it down so you can all understand and like read through the legal jargon. And then also a lot of people have like subscriptions to websites where you can download like every single page from every single like complaint, court filings, like all these things. I don't know what these databases are, but they then post it all in the Reddit group. So like if you really want to get a comprehensive look at this, and it's not just the Baldoni lawsuit, it's also like the Sloan or the Jones Works lawsuit, all these other lawsuits that are at play as well. Like it gets into all of those, and the moderators are really great. So if you're interested in this and you're interested in an objective perspective, then I would urge you to go to the It Ends With Court Reddit group. If you're not interested in an objective perspective, I would urge you to go on TikTok. And that's what I'll say about that. But yeah, so I don't want to get too into it yet, but I was feeling good when I saw me that. Too. I was feeling good.
Me too. I smiled at my phone.
I smiled at myself. I had a little chuckle. Well, you guys, it is June. It is Pride Month. And with that, it's a little bit later than we wanted, but we did release our Pride merch collection for 2025, which I actually think is iconic.
I think it's so funny.
It is.
People
okay.
are liking it. So
I know.
Far.
So if you haven't seen, we have comfort colored tees, obviously the best. We haven't previously had the comfort color sweatshirts, but we got them this time. I'm super excited. I know. I'm really pumped. We had been doing the Gildan sweatshirts, which are like great, but these are a little
bit
nicer quality.
With Gildan sweatshirts. Inside of them, I love. No, I don't have that issue with them. I have that issue more so with comfort colors, I fear. But what I mean is, especially when you get like a navy or a black Gildan sweatshirt, the lint,
I know,
comfort colors is made out of that kind of soft fabric, yeah, that kind of repels lint.
Yes.
It doesn't get,
I like, will say, if you're going to order a comfort colors crew neck, I would size up, because I like them a little bit bigger, because I think they have, they're not as like,
they're not as stretchy.
I mean, they
are,
they're just
stiffer.
A little bit, yeah, they're a little stiffer. That's a good word for it. But they're really good quality. They're really nice. Like, they're sweatshirts you'll have forever. Every time you wash them, they get softer. They're just so great. And then we also have, you're welcome. You're welcome, Megan Albatross. We have crop tops. A lot of you have been asking for years, and like, Phoebe and I wouldn't be caught dead wearing a crop top, but we sincerely hope that you guys will, okay? And we also have a little car magnet.
Only, guys, only because the thing about a crop top is that on our frames, it kind of begins to act like a bit like a parachute.
It's like a crop top or a full-length dress. I mean, I don't know.
It's like when the draft comes through on a crop top,
Oh my God.
It kind of can
lift
you off to the ground.
Listen, Phoebe, we don't have to explain ourselves to them. We just don't. Like, look, I don't have to tell you why I won't wear a crop top, but you can use your imagination to guess it's because I'm just so waif.
I'm going
to
look like Boo from Monsters, Inc.
Absolutely. That's not the look I'm going for. Anyway, but these crop tops are so cute. Like, even we could probably find a way to make it work. So the comfort colors, tees, and crew necks on the front, very simple and white text. It says, Emily Fields isn't boring. And then on the back, it says, hope this helps, which is my favorite
thing
to say.
How'd you come up with
that? How did I come up with it?
Yeah.
I love being asked about my process. I literally don't know. Here's the deal. I mean, you know, we were having some conversations about what we did and didn't want to include for various reasons. But I was like, it would be so great if we could do a line that's not like, it doesn't say.
Not centered around the podcast necessarily.
Right. It's not centered around the podcast. It's like niche enough that people are like, what does that mean? And then people who get it, like the girls who get it. And I thought it, honestly, I was like, this is so cute. I feel like if Shay Mitchell saw it, she'd be like, wait, I want one. You know what I mean? I just do.
I send it to Shay.
So I've been tagging her. You guys,
let's send one to
tag her. Lindsay
Shaw. Let's send one to Miss Shaw.
Okay. Okay. I still have her mailing address.
I know.
and her sizing, of course. Anyway. But yeah, so the crew necks and the t-shirts have that. And then on the sleeve of the crew neck, on the wrist, embroidered in rainbow, it says The Pretty Little Podcast. And then on the tees, not embroidered, but printed on the, I think it's the right sleeve, it says The Pretty Little Podcast. And then the crop tops only have the text in the front. So it just says Emily Fields isn't boring in the front and white text. And the back on like the outside label, rainbow, The Pretty Little Podcast. And then we added a car magnet. I don't know why I saw this. I was like, this would be hilarious. And I'm just going to give it a little rainbow background and put Emily Fields isn't boring, because I love when I'm driving in traffic and I see someone who like, they have a bumper sticker that I'm like, I would get along with you, but it's a magnet because we're not like committing to anything, right. But it's just like a fun little thing, you know, it mm-hmm. makes being stuck in bumper to bumper so much better.
Totally.
So there's I'm excited.
There's been a truck outside my apartment the last couple of days with a Steelers sticker on it.
Oh my God. Phoebe, do you think they're there for you? Because I hate to break it to you, you are wearing a Steelers hat. They might think that you belong on the truck. They're waiting for you to come outside. You're like, I haven't left the house in days. Like, I don't know what they're waiting for. They're outside with massive nets. I'm like, you don't need a net that big for me.
You just need a little mouse trap.
Yeah, exactly. The shirts also, just so you guys know, so any proceeds, 50% of all proceeds from the Emily Fields Isn't Boring collection will always go to the Trevor Project at the end of every month. So it doesn't matter if it's in June or another month, as long as this collection is available, 50% of those profits will go to the Trevor Project. And as you guys know, last year we did the same thing with our Pride line. And for the month of June, any Pretty Little Podcast merch, so anything on our storefront, 50% of those profits will go to Trevor Project for the month of June. So lots of opportunity here to give to a cause we both really believe in. Celebrate Pride. Happy Pride. It's an amazing month. It doesn't matter. Girls and gays alike. It is a really, really great time to celebrate. And speaking of, I just was... So if you haven't watched Overcompensating, I think we talked a little bit about that one scene at the party where Benny...
Yeah, you and Clyde both posted it. And I was like... Okay, either you did that at the same time on purpose or
no,
you guys are just that locked in.
That's like our bat symbol, because that is like, that is us. And I found the screenplay, like Benito Skinner like posted the actual thing of what it says. And it's just like, it is that feeling just wrenches my guts around. You know what I mean? In a good way.
Totally.
So it's such a great month. So much to celebrate. Anywho. Let's get in. I don't really have that much to update you guys on because there's my whole life has been consumed with like other people's business and drama. So I don't know if you have any updates. Go into them for sure. But then we can like dive into culture and stuff.
I don't think so. I'm sleepy. I had a busy weekend, but nothing like crazy. It was just busy. Bonnaroo this weekend.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And roll.
Do you know what you're wearing?
Oh, well, it's going to rain. Every day.
Every day? And you're camping?
No, we're not camping.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I was like, not going to tell you, but I was like, that is such a dumb idea. I was like, hey, Phoebe, for you.
And let's tell the thousands of people that do camp. It's a camping festival.
And that is exactly why I just said Phoebe for you. I meant it, but I said Phoebe for you. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Okay. Sorry, you're going to hate this. You don't give me camping vibes. Sorry, you're going to hate that.
Most of the people of Bonnaroo don't give camping. It's not like, I mean.
Well, they must a little bit because they're camping and you're not.
No. Well, I'm not a camper in the rain. That's for sure.
You're not a camper, period. Have you ever been camping, really?
Yeah. You remember when we went camping?
That wasn't real camping. I mean, have you ever pitched a tent and put it in the middle of the woods and slept under the stars?
No, but I've slept on the
trampoline. Have you ever had a little big old stick with a piece of red fabric tied to the end in your little knapsack, and you got a bunch of little treats in there, and you look like you're in a bug's life. Oh, well, that's just how I travel to and fro.
Whenever I would, like, run away as a kid.
Oh, you meant, you don't mean you still do it. That's what I meant, too, as a kid. Anywho, that'll be really fun. Who are you most excited to see at Bonnaroo?
Honestly, I think Olivia Rodrigo's up there just because I haven't seen her yet.
Yeah, and that'll be so fun.
I probably like every time she's toured, it's just like been like, I don't really want to buy tickets. So yeah. I'm excited to have an opportunity to see her. Rainbow Kitten Surprise, who I've never seen.
Oh, fun.
Super excited about that. There are a lot of, I mean, I'm much more excited about this year's lineup than I was about last year's. And the schedule is great. Nothing's really running into anything else. Rachel Chinariri, I'm most excited for her, I think, actually.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're going to have so much fun. I'm excited for you. I'm jealous. I want to go to a music festival. Bad. I don't feel like I have any concerts even like lined up, which is kind of weird. Which is kind of weird. I need to get on that. You wrote fishtail braid on the note.
Oh,
under
okay.
personal so, updates. So I'm kind of dying yes. to hear this.
I had to work this event for work on Saturday, and the night before I like took a shower, but I let my hair dry, but it was still wet when I was going to bed, and I was like, oh, like I'll just braid my hair, which I haven't done probably since high school.
Ever? Okay.
No, but like I don't like I'm not like I used to like braid my hair before I went to bed.
So funny.
But now I don't because my hair is so straight, and I can't French braid. So
bragging.
It's
okay,
not like,
okay. Teaching you in Nashville this month. I want to make a list.
Caroline, listen, here's the thing.
What?
The amount of times in my life you have wanted and tried to teach me how to French braid.
And thank you for saying that publicly.
I've just kind of realized and come to terms with and accepted the fact that I'm never going to know how to French braid. And that's okay.
Well, you know, there was a time when like I didn't know how to French braid.
I know when you were like 6.
And I taught myself how. And
I know.
And that was way harder than if someone else teaching you.
Anyway. All I'm saying is I don't know how to do it. So, like, when I I forgot that, like, my hair needs to be sopping wet when it gets in the braids. Or if I because then when I wake up, my hair gets really, like, it's really frizzy. It doesn't wave when it's a little bit dry. It just, like, puffs up.
Interesting.
Anyway, so my hair looks terrible. I had to put it up for this event. And then I was lamenting about this to my friends. And I was like, they couldn't understand why I was saying the waves started at my chin, basically. And I was like, because I can't French braid. The only braids I know how to do are a regular braid and a fishtail.
Yeah.
And a fishtail is out. We don't fishtail braid anymore, but I know how to do it.
You do?
And yes, of course.
What do you mean, of course? I just suggested that I help you learn how to French braid and your head flew off your body. No.
That one's hard.
Hey, Fee, a fishtail braid is significantly harder, I believe.
No, it's so much easier. There's only two pieces you're dealing with. Only two pieces of hair.
Well, and a million others.
Yeah, but like only two sections of hair.
I guess.
And then it turns into four, and it's easy.
I feel anyway. Like I need to be like looking at it when I'm doing it. I haven't done a fishtail in so long.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And my friends were like, okay, Phoebe, if it's the only thing you can do, bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back. So you are a trendsetter. And famously, once right. we start putting things out into the universe, they pretty much stick. So
I was watching the Tonys last night, and when this man came on with his fedora, I said,
okay, my there impact.
Is some, well, I said that at first. I'd love to see fedora representation. Then I said, there is just something about a fedora that ages a man.
Oh, God. I thought you were about to say, like, there is just something about a fedora that I love. I was like,
but
oh,
this
God,
man, when he walked up to the stage and I saw the fedora and he was a bald, white, tall man, I was like, oh, my God, he's 70. And then he started talking and I was like, wait.
He's going to pull out a pipe and start tapping his feet and doing some jazz.
Boss Baby or Kermit.
Well, since we're talking about the Tonys, let's just dive right in. I thought the Tonys last night, the 2025 Tonys, were one of the best I've seen in
the night of my life.
It was so good. And I want to say, I think a big part of that reason is Cynthia Erivo running a tight fucking ship. I think she said, I'm going to let you all know how this is going to work. In the very beginning, and she said, there are going to be no bones about it. So there's no, what, I didn't know, no, you know. And I'm not going to be showing favoritism. I will play myself singing, and it'll be a little bit of a joke. It'll be a little bit cheeky, because I do agree. I always, like, want to die when the music starts playing.
Well,
but it's kind of
so,
funnier.
What was so awkward, though, I thought about it, and not that I didn't like it, but, like, the first speech where it played, what happens in these speeches a lot is people will, especially at the Tonys, people will get up there, they'll say all the thank yous that are initially in their brain, and then when they start to run out of time, that's when they start saying the political message or the message to the greater good, and like, they start saying the things that they're really passionate about, and it's not just the thank yous. So I think that to me, I was like, that is a little awkward that she just started talking about, I'm thinking about that first speech specifically.
Yeah,
she just
I know
talking
what you're talking about.
Politics.
Because I was thinking that.
Because at first I was like, is she actually going to do it? Because sometimes they'll be like, we're going to do this when you like.
I wasn't sure.
Go over. Like, are you actually going to do it?
Well, I was kind of wondering, like, I wonder if, because you know they know that. And so I bet you it was like 90 seconds and then like you get a couple seconds grace period. And I bet she just like, I bet she started it as they press play, because I feel like maybe they would have given her like 5 seconds to just get it out there. But apparently they could see the time too. So I'm like, you guys.
Yeah, because everybody kept saying that.
So that, yeah. So I'm like, okay, but so then you knew and you just, and that's good to know for anyone who plans on winning an award someday. I am one of those people. You just want to make sure that you've got your speech and you do what Cola Scola did, which is you run up there. You get up there. Your walk counts. The applause you get counts. You get up there. You have it prepared. Be ready. You know, just be ready. Her opening number.
Amazing.
I mean, full body chills the entire time. I thought it was the coolest thing when she went in the audience and had them singing with her. And
it's just such a testament to that. It's the, no offense to even the Grammys, it is the only award show where you could just put that. The microphone into the audience and know that the person can sing.
Yes. And also that they're gonna be willing to play along, and mm-hmm. also that they are going to like have picked up on your song and understand what would like fit. Because I remember this is a big thing. They probably did it in like percussion stuff too, but like vocally, it was really always so embarrassing and intimidating. We'd all be doing like a sound circle or something in class, and everybody would be like singing different notes, or we'd be singing a part of a song that like vamps a little bit and people would be like riffing over it, and they'll like have you go around the circle and like everybody gets like 8 counts to vocally improvise and like riff. And it's like, I mean, how embarrassing if it doesn't go well? It's not really embarrassing, but it felt like it was like the end of the world. Like, I don't know, it was just really stressful. And so I also love that it's like, she was able to pick 3 people, but she could have picked any 3 people. I do wonder if she prepped Adam Lambert, because
he was
it was like,
but
written.
Also I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't.
No,
you know what I mean?
I wouldn't be surprised
but
at all.
I was just gonna say, last night it felt very like the introduction of the movie star into Broadway felt very drastic to me. Like, the sheer number of movie stars doing Broadway things. And it is interesting to see, like, I don't know. There's something regular person about theater people that movie stars sometimes
don't
think
have.
They're above. So, like, George Clooney. And what I will say is Keanu Reeves gave Theater Kid last night.
Oh,
but
so
George
good.
Clooney is, like, responding to the jokes with his face in the way that you would if you were at the Oscars.
Dude. And George like, Clooney had me stressed last night.
I was like, is he going to, like,
I thought he was pissed off.
I think he thought he was getting his Tony last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think he got a talking to. Here's what I think. Because the first 2 times it went to him, one was when Cynthia Erivo, like, said something about him, and it goes to him. And it's like, okay, as much as I know this, I mean, I don't know, he's probably been to the Tonys before, but, like, let's say this is your first Tonys. I understand that you, like, might not know, but even if you were at the Oscars and someone makes a joke about you, like,
you just
give a little laugh or something. You're George Clooney. Like, everybody just watched you last night on CBS. So, like, just laugh. I thought it was weird. He looked kind of pissed, and I didn't, there was nothing, like,
I thought he did the
to
whole
be
night.
Pissed about with her joke. But that was the first time. And then somebody else panned to him. Oh, it was during her number. As she's singing, and it's, like, bringing the house down. Everyone is, like, oh, my God, edge of their seats. And he's just, like, hand on his chin, like, just looking bored, looking like he didn't get it. I was, like, what is there to not get? Like,
it's kind of giving, and you could probably speak more to this, but, like, I'm sure. It's, like, how I don't think Adam, the way Adam Driver in Girls talks about when he's in the musical versus when he's doing his plays and stuff, you know what I mean? And I think that, like, play people probably, maybe they're a little bit, like, eye-rolling at the pomp and circumstance and fun of theater.
But
they don't take it as seriously because George Clooney's doing real, real hard-hitting theater about the Red Scare.
Except that, I mean, that to say that, we would have to say there's no pomp and circumstance at the Oscars. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like this is only this award show.
That's true.
He did have a little smile. And Amal, no smoke to you, because she was reacting appropriately
was
the whole
fun.
Time.
And she kind of, it was like she was looking at him like,
laugh. I know. And I believe, I'm telling you, that man got a text from his publicist, from somebody, and they said, you need to look alive. This is the Tonys. And this is the real thing about the Tonys. Everyone at the Tonys is aware that they are performing, whether they are a seat filler, sitting down in the balcony. They are all like performing. Oh my
God, let's talk about the balcony in a second.
Oh, we will. They're stage actors. Like, this is like, they're big, right? And so they're all gonna do the most when the camera goes to them, or they're all going to liven up their face, even if it's not legit. Whereas him not doing that, it made it such a stark contrast. And I literally think he got a text from his publicist like, hey, I need you to like watch your faces a little bit because you look miserable.
When she did the good night and good luck little like thing, like they had her pretending to be him, I do think he felt a little more jovial.
Yes, and that's exactly when I was like,
but it's also like, is it like he got that one more? Like, was he like, oh, this is clearly about our show?
But that was my thing, is I'm like, what is there to not get about Cynthia Erivo singing, belting her face off with this gorgeous choir behind her? Like, there was nothing to get. Like, even if you didn't get the way they were like cycling through all the nominations and whatever, you're still enjoying a performance from probably the most gifted vocalist of our time next to Ariana Grande. Like, the two of them, I really believe that. I mean, it just was amazing. I loved the opening number.
When Cynthia was on the balcony, there was, I don't know if you caught this. There was a girl.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. Was she on Cynthia's left behind her?
Cynthia's left, yeah.
Yep.
She could not believe she was on camera.
Oh, my God.
The camera pans to Cynthia, hand heart.
Hand heart, but she kept going.
And then she was so excited and nervous. She's like fixing her hair the whole time.
Yeah, like, so she's like, it's still like she. Because
it's also like the balcony. She was probably sitting up there like so excited to be there, but she's like, I'm not going to be on camera.
Right. And I thought it was really neat. I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure it's happened before. I'm not like a Tony's expert, but I don't really remember that happening before. And I thought it was so neat, but I was terrified she was going to fall. Because you know, when you're up in the balcony of a theater, it feels so steep.
Just ask mom.
Just ask mom.
I loved the joke too about the fact that she had to be on the balcony for Jonathan Groff's performance.
Oh my God.
And then it's like, even if you didn't get the joke after seeing his performance, you're like, oh.
Oh, the light hit the spit perfectly as it flew out of his mouth.
What he's known for.
Yeah, guys, in case you don't know, in case you're not a Broadway girly, Groff sauce. Jonathan Groff, he just is known for like spitting a ton. And on the Hamilton pro shot that went on to Disney Plus, it became a meme. It was like insane the amount of spit we saw flying from his mouth in HD. And it's just who he is. But I love that, like, also that's the thing. These people can laugh at themselves in a way that I don't believe Hollywood is ready to do. And so it was neat. I thought it was really, really funny. I wish they had had him sing a different song. I felt like
I wanted him to do that number where he does. It's like his big dance number.
And his mic was like way too low.
I was confused. Was he singing into the mic? Because he also
he had this mic that was a prop. But
that's what I thought.
I got confused too.
But I mean, he sounded great.
Yeah.
And I love any chance I got to see him on my stage. I think it's so. And I know we don't need to give Ryan Murphy any more flowers, but like the fact that it was basically a Glee reunion last night and like back to back best male actors in a musical are going to Glee people.
Yeah.
And Alex Newell was shucked last year or the year.
Yeah,
before.
That was last year.
She won.
The eye for talent. I mean, I'm sorry. I think it was 2 years ago. Anyway, yeah, no, he's a visionary when it comes to like, and that is a talent, just being able to see something in someone. Because I think with all these people, like, he knew they could also be bigger than Glee.
Yeah, and did you see the picture of Chris Colfer at Darren's after party?
Yes.
Like, so precious.
So precious. So sweet. I loved the performances last night. Obviously, Death Becomes Her was probably my fave. How fun was for the gays?
So fun.
So what's fun about that number is it's not like any other number on the show. And I knew they were going to do this number. And a few people pushed back on me. They're like, no, they're going to do this. I was like, no. That's the number. Because that is the number. Like, what other number would you do at the Tonys? Everyone's in there. It's hilarious. It's like got a little bit of everything. But the idea is that is like Megan Hilty's show. And then she leaves that. None of the other music sounds like that. Like, that was her show. So if you didn't like that song, don't let that deter you from the soundtrack. It sounds very different, but I loved it. And very cool, the girl who did the Liza Minnelli dance break switch out is from Pittsburgh. I did shows with her when I was younger. So it was like really neat to see her one on Broadway when I went to see it, but also like at the Tonys. Just
here
so
was my
neat.
Gripe with the night. Okay. I want more group ensemble choreography numbers. I want more dance breaks. Sorry, Darren, Chris. I don't know anything about that musical. I don't know how it completely flew under the radar.
This always happens.
Sorry, I need some dancing.
This is, and you know what? That was the Come From Away effect all those years ago, where I was like, what the fuck is this musical that's like taking over?
Come From Away, the thing about that musical was like, even though it wasn't like there were these big ensemble dance numbers, the music, like Welcome to the Rock, and especially the finale, like those are just... they didn't need to be dancing. Like,
no, I totally agree with you. I mostly mean, I feel like every year there's a show that I feel like comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the fuck? I've heard nothing about the show and I know nothing, and it's winning everything. And I'm like, I've only seen the Tony performance, and like oftentimes I feel like a lot of people figure out what shows they want to see and listen to from the Tonys. Like, it's a big advertisement. So, but it didn't even really make me want to see it. I was just is this the most exciting, compelling number in the show? I feel like that's what we should be choosing.
That's what there were a couple other musicals where I was like, is this what we're picking? Like, I don't, it just, if this is the strongest number, I'm not dying to see it then.
Right. Absolutely. What was I just going to ask you? Audra was,
oh my God.
I mean,
that it was like, actually show-stopping.
It was, and it was, like, kind of painful to watch, too, just, like, the character.
And I like
Audra disappeared. It was so,
I mean,
like,
when they got those close-ups on her face towards the end, I was like, oh,
I know.
God.
Some people were tweeting, like, this is the difference. This is why we say it doesn't fucking matter how well you sing, you act that song. Because look at how it brings a performance from good to great. And I'm also, you know, I'm really glad that Patti LuPone wasn't there. Because imagine Patti having to sit there and watch.
Yeah.
Wait, what did they say?
Well, they said Audra's been in the news a lot lately. And I had the privilege of explaining that lore last night.
Oh, I've gotten to explain it to a couple students. It was awesome. I was like, oh, I love Broadway tea. I love sharing it. Any other thoughts on the Tonys? I'm trying to think if there's
Hamilton.
Any. I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Duh. Oh, my God.
Guys, let me just tell you. First of all, completely fucking libbing out. Second of all, you guys don't understand the hold that I know it had a hold on the country. The
you guys don't
large.
Understand how much Hamilton freaking means to Phoebe.
But I was so, Caroline knows this, I was so locked in on Hamilton. And oh my, and also like seeing, when I realized it was the original ensemble, I started crying. Because seeing Ariana DeBose, what's his last name, the guy who plays Farmer Refuted, seeing all these people that like we recognize from that era of everybody just being obsessed with Hamilton, and that when the girls came out, when like, and the fact that Leslie Odom Jr. is about to go back to Broadway.
No, I have chills. You just saying his name, I have chills, because I'm sorry, first of all, I have chills again. I'm in love with him. I'm in love with them. And he, like, on stage, I'm just like, ah, like, the voice, like, the way he carries himself,
the way
like,
he moves
swag,
his body
like,
in the room where it happens when he's doing, like, the jazz.
Oh, my God. He's a star.
And having Oak come back.
Oh, my God,
and
I know.
And the fact that they let him do his whole...
When he did the, and I am loving it, it was like, it made me want to cry. Like, he put his hand, and he like had this little smile, and I am loving it. And it was just like, I just thought it was so neat, because also I was thinking about like seeing David Diggs come out, right? And I mean, just, they're all, it's like they never left. They all sound perfect. They all were so ready.
Christopher Jackson,
who is looking older. And that was a crazy moment, because you know,
right. Well, you met him. You were with him the night that
I was with him the night his child was born. Absolutely. But I like think about that, and it's like he is literally someone that I have been seeing and looking up to, and like he's been in my life as one of these people since I was a kid. And like, so to see him, it feels like these people never age, and then you see them start to age,
and
you're like
just thinking about like in the like, I remember the first time I heard 96,000 because you guys did it at whatever at some like thing at a library, like you guys did it, and I was like, I didn't know theater could sound like this.
I know. And that's how I felt too. And I was like, I'm singing all these songs and putting them in my book. I went to a musical theater workshop in New York City when I was in eighth grade. I was the youngest person there. Everybody else was in their 20s or older. And I got up and I said, I'm going to be singing 96,000 from In the Heights. And they said, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
They were like, hey, I'm sure you can kill this song. You'll never be in this show. And I was like, what? And that's when I was taught the very important lesson about, you're a white girl, sit the fuck down. And everyone, well, at that time, that was a lesson. Honestly, I feel like I was so lucky to have someone say that to me in eighth grade, because I think there are people who like still haven't had it said to them in the year 2025 and it needs to be said. But that's, it was that feeling of like, oh my God, I have not heard Broadway sound like this before. And for my voice, like I don't have like a super typical like Broadway-y kind of voice, or I didn't always feel like I did. I hate that. It like actually offends me when you do that. I don't have like a typical Broadway sounding voice. Phoebe like hates my voice and it drives me nuts.
Okay. I cannot actually believe the deduction that you just made.
But I always feel like you kind of don't think I'm a good singer. I've always felt like that. When we would do stuff, she'd be like, first of all, don't try to get a compliment out of Phoebe. It won't happen. But second of all, she'd be like, you guys would make fun of me all the time.
We weren't making fun of how you sounded. We were making fun of the Broadway nature of your voice.
Well, that's how it sounds to being a layman. Being in Broadway rooms, they say your voice at the time didn't sound like that. It sounded like a poppy kind of, Broadway didn't sound like my voice, and I had to work very hard to like shape it to like fit those sounds. But I think I can still sing not Broadway stuff and not sound like I'm a Broadway person.
I don't hear you sing I'm also Broadway not stuff a, very often.
A karaoke.
Well, that's so different because you're not really like trying to be good necessarily.
Oh my God, are you guys hearing this?
No, stop it.
Anyway, so moving on, the Hamilton performance was so great. And I just kept thinking about that article where it was like David Diggs was couch surfing, had nowhere to live when he got Hamilton. And like to then just see him on stage 10 years later, it just is like so neat. So many of these people like that was the real takeoff point for their career.
And the way they all bought into what he was, like, even though he had already done In the Heights, I still feel like they've really had to believe in like
yeah.
It was probably a tough sell for a lot of people.
I don't know though, because I feel like as soon as you heard it, it wasn't.
Well, like, no. But I mean, like when he was working on the mixtape, like when he was doing his workshops, and he brought Philippa Sue in and Jonathan Groff, and it was like the very early days. I can imagine people being a little bit like a musical about Hamilton, and the music is hip hop, and I don't really understand it. But he just was able to amass a team of people who always believed in what he was doing.
And still do, which is really neat. Like the fact that he was able to get them all to come back for this is such a testament to like who he is, the legacy he's created. Like that is so rare. It is so rare.
And it was not lost on me that they did not want a certain Anthony Ramos.
What's the deal with that?
They cheated on Jasmine Cephas Jones.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh my God!
He's kind of a dirty, rotten scoundrel.
I actually said, "Was he there?" Because Anthony was. Like, I no, saw him Anthony Ramos. Very he was quickly. Like, oh, he was there. I was
very
like,
quickly. He like did a little like. We saw him do a little twirl.
I'm dead. Oh my God. Well, anyway, it was amazing, and it was also like listening to it. I was like, wow, it really is. Because there's the Hamilton fatigue, and
for sure.
Every young musical theater person that I talk to, like Hamilton is. What's neat is Hamilton is their Wicked. It's how they got into theater. It is the first thing that made them think that this might be for them. But also, and I feel like it was an entry point for a lot of people who don't like Broadway stuff.
Because it doesn't sound like Broadway.
It's totally different. Yeah. But, so I never like go back and listen to it now. But seeing it like that, I was like, wow, it really is so special. Like this show, it's not overhyped. It's really that good. And like to see it in this like 7-minute mega mix kind of scenario, and for it to be like, I was like, dude, do it again, encore. We were like cheering at our house.
The best performance of the night. It was so fun.
Amazing.
Another great performance of the night was Sarah Bareilles and Cynthia Erivo.
Oh my God, wow.
I would love a jazz Creel standard there, album. Like, well, see, I didn't realize how close Sarah Bareilles and he were, him, how close they were. And she, like, that moment where Cynthia turns around and realizes that Sarah Bareilles, like, really started crying, I was like, this is so special. And, like, I'm glad that he was the last, because I didn't they dim all the lights on Broadway, right? Wasn't there like drama?
Oh no, I believe they did.
I think there was protest about how the fact that at first maybe not every theater was going to go dark.
I remember that for somebody else.
Maybe
it was for him.
But it did feel like, I'm glad that they left it on that note.
Yeah.
It's always sad when you see young. There were a couple just like pictures of young people.
I know. Gavin Creel being one of them, 48 years old. Like, so sad. He was so talented. Oh my God. Well, I'm ready to close the Tony's book for today, but I would like to open the Grimmery and talk about the Wicked Part 2 trailer.
Okay. Someone said, Gorilla Glue that wig to that girl's head. Speaking to Ariana Grande.
Wait, why? Oh,
because
it
looks gorge.
Oh, I thought you meant like because she was in danger of flying off.
She can stop doing that. Like that.
No,
that
I know.
Bun that makes her look bald.
The blonde wig down in the act. It was so good. Her in the wedding dress. I mean, she looks so beautiful. So beautiful. They both do. Cynthia eating.
She looks amazing.
Serving.
You can tell that Alpha was really coming to her own.
Yes.
Immediately with how Cynthia's carrying herself differently. I love the scene when Glinda walks onto the balcony and goes, Alphabethrop. I know you're
Alphabethrop.
Out there.
Alphabethrop. Oh my God. Someone, Brittany sent it to me. It was like this tweet that was like, how a closeted lesbian refers to her best friend who she's also in love with. Alphabethrop. And it was just that. They like cut it. They're like, here's my impression of a closeted lesbian, blah, blah, blah. And it just goes, Alphabethrop.
I do think it's so funny that the movies have really like re-sparked the love for them as a couple.
So much. Well, and yes. And also like and Brittany and I both felt this way. We never saw that before. I never interpreted them as, or Glinda as closeted, wanting, like loving Alphaba. I never interpreted it that way until the movie. And it was so obvious to me that Ariana had made that choice. Like when she, when she admit that like, yes, I think Glinda's a little closeted. It was like, okay, so we weren't wrong. But Brittany and I literally, and we were just talking about, because Brittany just went and saw the first one again in theaters. And we were talking about that moment. She was like, I had missed it before, but when everyone's going down to the Ozdust ballroom, Fiera like pulls Glinda aside and puts this little flower in her hair. And she was like, and then later on, she gives that flower to Alphaba. And it's like, look, like Fiera and Alphaba were always connected, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but also, that's how Fiera was like flirting with Glinda and like doing this cute little thing. That ultimately being what she gives to Alphaba.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, in my mind, Glinda's not giving the flower Fiero put in her hair at the Ozdust, one of the best nights. You know, she's not giving that away.
Yeah.
But it's like, it feels like a similar kind of thing. You know what I mean? I don't know. So I like it that way. I was nervous to watch this trailer because the first one was so good. And you know how sometimes, even in shows, like Act Two, is sometimes like it's where we got to tie everything up. It's not really like where the action feels like it's happening as much. And I hope they don't lose people. I hope it's not like the first one was such a booming success and the second one as a result falls a little bit flat. No. I mean,
I'm locked in.
Perfect.
I'm equally as excited and also kind of nervous only because of how this normally goes when this happens. Adding the two songs to this movie. I just get nervous when the original work is being like changed in that strong of a way. However, Act Two is weaker, so it could boost it up a little bit, but I don't care because as long as No Good Deed might be one of my favorite Broadway's top five.
Oh, it's so good.
And I just am so excited to hear her sing it.
Stephen Schwartz wrote the music. So it's not like it's not like when, you know, Disney adapts shows and brings it to the screen and they like add in a song, it doesn't feel like it fits. Like, these will be true. And I also feel like Ariana and Cynthia are so protective over Wicked that they're like
worried.
Yeah.
It's just the thought. I think they'll be amazing. It makes me think of Cats. And yeah. I know we don't like Cats to begin with, but Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote Beautiful Ghosts for the Cats movie. And yeah. It's just like, I mean, even if you don't like Cats, the music in that is better than that song.
Yeah. But also, that whole show, that whole movie was a disaster.
How did I not clock that Sunset Boulevard was a revival?
Oh, I actually don't know. I
was shocked.
I don't know. By the way, like, did we clear up the whole, like, Trumper thing with Nicole Scherzinger? Like,
I think she did apologize for it.
Yeah, but, like, did we clear it up? Like,
well, I think she said it was more about the Christian thing. I'm not saying that's the reason, but I think that's what she said.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I know that's what she said. I was kind of surprised she won the Tony.
I mean, after that performance, I wasn't.
Well, she's unbelievable. And like, I do believe she deserves it. But I was like, huh, interesting. But also, Patti LuPone went to go see Sunset Boulevard after that all happened, which made me feel like it was somehow resolved.
Because
I just don't see Patti going to support
What did she say on that Tony carpet? They were like, what would you say to the president? And she
I'd goes, say, get the fuck out of my theater. How's that? Or something like that. Like, she said something like, they're like, would you perform? She's like, I wouldn't perform. I hate the motherfucker. How's that? Oh, that's what she says. Yeah. You're like,
Caroline just had to put herself in the tiny frail body of Patti LuPone.
I did. Which was easy because my body is also tiny and frail. Well, I remember they're asking, like, what would you do if
you went to go see your show?
President Trump came to see your show. And she was like, I wouldn't perform. Tell him to get the hell. I wouldn't perform. And they go, well, do you have anything why not? Because I hate the motherfucker. How's that? Okay. And then she like walks away.
Another point to the category of things that make her very similar to someone that we know.
Very much so. Yes.
With the same fervor.
Yeah, for sure. I want to say something about the Wicked. So first of all, I don't think we got a real Tin Man. I guess we got the one little shot of our Tin Man, but here's what I want to say.
Nothing intense.
Because I was seeing photos where people were just like, Ari, like what? Like, you know, people are sharing Bach Act 2 and whatever.
I know I'm going to get the ick so hard March of the Witch Hunters.
And here's what I need to say about it. You are all able to relate now to the experience that any person has who's in a showmance. And let me explain this. There's nothing worse than costume day. Oh, there's nothing worse than dress rehearsal or the week of the show for your showmance, okay? Because all the time leading up to it, we've been in street clothes. We've been styling ourselves. Suddenly, we're in period attire. Suddenly, we have mutton chops. Suddenly, the facial hair the men are required to have couldn't be less flattering. And they have to have it all the time. And still
also,
have
like
to
they're
like
on
them.
Stage, so the makeup is like, it doesn't...
They're wearing
makeup.
What
you're seeing from the audience doesn't look like... It looks like they have J.D. Vance eyeliner
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And then the costumes. And I just want to say, putting them in costumes, like, it does create a massive ick factor. There are times when, like, it works, because sometimes it's just, like, a suit. It's easy. But oftentimes, when I see a man in costume, I'm like, and I forget what I saw in you. I forget the attraction that I felt.
Had that? I mean, but we see these pictures of them all over set, and it's like, no, she's in love
with
Bach.
Well, the thing is, we persevere. You persevere for the showmance. You realize it's a costume. We're playing roles. This isn't forever. And, you know, it's easier for him, I guess, because...
I will say, during Wicked Press and recently, he definitely has had, like, the girlfriend effect. Like, he definitely looks better than he did when we saw that first picture of them at dinner, when we were like, no way.
I believe it's also the fame effect, you know, where he's like terrified to leave the house, not looking his best now.
That's
because he will be ripped to shreds online. All right. Anything else to say about the Wicked Part 2 trailer?
No, but I know I'm going to be at my AMC at least 8 times in the months of November and December.
Over and over and over again.
It's the only movie I'm going to see. They may as well not even release anything else.
Agree. That should be playing in every single theater. In the movie theater. You know what I mean? What do you think of the new Sabrina song, Man Child?
I like it fine. It's not my favorite thing ever. I really, the bridge, I think, is the strongest part of it. I think it's the catchiest part of it. I don't love speaking in songs. You know that.
I don't either. And that is my qualm with it.
And it I saw someone point out on Twitter that it sounds a little bit like Good Luck, Babe.
I also felt like, well, this is more of, I think she's taking inspo, but I felt like she was trying to go for a that don't impress me much kind of vibe because in that it's like, okay, so you're Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? Like it felt like that. And here's the thing about Sabrina. I listened the first time. I'm like, meh, it's okay. It sounds like everything else she's put out. That's true.
It's how I had the same experience as I had when Please, Please, Please came out.
Yeah.
Because like Espresso, it's like immediately you get it.
Yes.
Immediately it's a perfect song. What came out after that? There were three singles from that era. Please, Please, Please. What was the other one? One of the Please, Please, Please was the only Jack Antonoff one that came out. What the fuck was it? Now I'm irritated.
Busy? No.
I'm looking. Taste. What? No. Wait, that was just on
the
album.
No, that was, yeah.
Maybe it was just...
Did she only put out two?
That just feels interesting to me. Well, I guess Feather had, like, just been... That was kind of popular at the same time, maybe. Is that what I'm thinking?
That's the dance that I can, like, see in my head from her doing when she was opening the Eras Tour.
Yeah, because it was Espresso, Please, 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 and Man. Yeah. Those are her most recent singles.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like it, and the thing is, like, it does get stuck in your head, like all of her songs do, and... So I have been listening to it a lot, but and like I'm down with the speaking. I just don't love it. I just don't love it.
I agree.
So I mean,
I don't want an album that sounds just like that. I
want something a little bit different.
It's not that I don't love. And here's what I want people: the Jack Antonoff hate. It's always pissed me off because they're like all his stuff sounds the same, and I'm just like, on what planet? Yeah. Also. Producers, their job is to create the sound that the songwriter and the artist want. So when you compare, Manchild sounds a little bit like Please, Please, Please. Makes sense. Those are both Sabrina Carpenter songs made by Jack Antonoff.
Yes.
But then you look at other stuff he's done. He did Sling by Claro. He did a 1975 album. Liability by Lord. He did Melodrama. He did 1989. All of Lana Del Rey's stuff. Like, none of this sound. Kendrick Lamar's last album he produced, by the way. Yeah.
By the way,
I'm tired of it. So annoying. He's clearly listening to the input that Sabrina wants, and he's making the sound that she likes.
Well, and she is
just because you don't like it doesn't mean you don't like him.
Yeah, she's one of the most branded people on the scene right now. You know, like she is so deep in her brand that there was just no way she was going to release. Like she's not going to do a Chapel is wearing so many different hats. She's stretching into so many different like. Areas with her looks, with her sound, with all of this. That's not what Sabrina's trying to do. As Phoebe schooled me about a year ago, she was like, they're trying to hit us over the head with this is Sabrina. This is who we want you to think of her as. We want you to not be able to get her out of her head. And this is her vibe. And she's still doing that. Like, absolutely. And why wouldn't she recreate the formula that was working so well, you know, 5 minutes ago? Because it was like the highest grossing song on Spotify in a long time. Like, so anyway,
I'm with you.
It's good. It's not my favorite Sabrina song, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Let's dive into some other people's drama and business. I want to talk about all of the Taylor sightings we've been getting. Taylor at the wedding. What do you think? I know people are like, she stole attention from the bride. Yeah. But like, do you care if you're the bride and Taylor Swift is at your wedding?
Yeah, I don't think so. I wouldn't.
She can literally get on the table, break things, set it on fire, tear my dress up with her teeth, like whatever she wants to do. And I'll be like, Taylor, I had so much fun with you. Thank you. And you know, she was probably like a picture perfect wedding guest. But OK, so let's put ourselves. We're at a wedding. Taylor Swift walks in. Like, are people going up and asking for pictures?
That's
I feel like
it
it's
like
not. I know. And then all these normies being posted in like Des Moines. Like,
I bet like a kid was the first one to do it. And then she was super nice about it and like didn't care.
I bet it was like people
and
were coming up to talk to Travis.
Exactly.
And they've already met.
And if you think about what a wedding is, that's what it I mean.
Yeah.
Imagine it's not Taylor Swift and it's not Travis Kelce and it's just like your cousins everybody's getting pictures with everybody.
Right. I think so, probably a lot of it started from conversations. Oh, we're coming to say hi to Travis and his girlfriend who just happens to be Taylor Swift. Yeah. And then they're all there and I bet they were like, can we get a picture? Or Travis and Taylor honestly probably were like, do you guys, should we get a picture? Like, I bet you they were also, because they know, and they know people don't want to ask, but like, that's part of it. You know, she gave the best wedding gift anyone's ever given or received.
Nice handwritten card, I'm sure.
Did you see her and Travis sitting in their chairs dancing during the bride and groom's first dance?
No.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, well, that makes sense because you certainly would have said something about it. That is where I'm a little bit like, okay, Taylor. Taylor. She and Travis are like sitting in their seats and she's like doing like a hula and they're like big swaying back and forth while the bride and groom are having their, and someone's filming them from behind. And I was kind of like, okay, no one else is doing that. So yeah, why are you doing that? But then I was wondering, I saw this video from a while ago of, I think, Travis and I don't know who, swaying back and forth during the first dance at another wedding. And he's like in the back. And so some people think it was like a callback. Like she was like, oh, let's do your sway.
Oh.
I would prefer that. If that is what it is, I would prefer it.
Me too.
But so that was the only moment I wasn't loving. But I'm like, shut up. She also, it's not like she showed up in her Eras Tour bodysuit.
It's not like she, like, showed up in a wedding dress.
If you didn't know that she was like the most famous person in the entire world after the week that she bought back her Masters, like what a week to also like have this.
She looked completely normal on that. She didn't straighten her hair. Her hair was like,
she looked
curly.
So normal that I had notes. Okay. That's how normal she looked. Yes, of course. I always have notes. Give me a break. Look, Taylor's glam could have, I would have changed it up a little bit, but it's okay. What do you think of Billie Eilish and Nat Wolf making it official?
Well, I'm curious about it because they've been friends for so long at this point, uh-huh. And they've been being asked about this for a long time. And it's always been like, no, we're just friends. And yeah. I don't know. How old is he? She's a year younger than me to the
I
day.
I think he's like my age.
Mm. Let me see. I'm Googling. Just making sure. I'm getting my information right. He's 30. Caroline, if I started dating a 31-year-old, how would you feel? She wouldn't have any opinion on it.
I don't know. It depends on who it was.
If it was someone I've been friends with for a while, as like...
Well, that I would be less into.
Someone younger than my age.
Because that's giving like Demi and Brett from Secret Lives. Like,
well,
I'm not
that much younger. I don't think they've known each other for that long. But like,
you're talking about if you started dating somebody who was 25 and you were 9.
No,
just kidding.
But like I also just, maybe she just likes older guys. But I think there is a certain age where I'm still more skeptical and potentially, hey, yeah, I'll say it. I'll call myself out. Maybe close minded about age gaps.
Wow.
But I do think that, like, when you're in your early 20s and you're dating someone in their 30s, that feels different than being in your late 20s and dating someone in their late 30s.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I know she had to grow up really fast. Like, that's probably what everybody would say. And I think I have a bad taste in my mouth from her last relationship with Jesse Rutherford.
Yeah.
Just because that one did seem inappropriate more so 100%. Than this one. But I do, it is just something that I clocked. Of course, guys, I was in love with Nat Wolf as a kid. I was a big Naked Brothers Band fan. Mimi, actually, her sister recently bought all of the Naked Brothers Band episodes on their Amazon Prime. So the other
night, my God,
we were actually just watching the Naked Brothers Band.
No way. Wow. Okay. Well, you manifested this. You were like,
we
get
literally
back
were talking
in the
about
headlines.
It. Me and Mimi were literally like, wait, did we ever tie that up? Like, are they dating? And
said, okay, just tell Phoebe, yes, we're dating. We're dating. What? No, I do. I have to say, it is so fascinating that we've got Fletcher dating a man, Billy dating a man, JoJo dating a man.
The Fletcher one is definitely interesting to me.
Yeah.
We're like not really branding ourselves as Fletcher anymore, and we chose June to announce that.
That's what's so crazy. The album cover, like, I'm just like
selling boy merch during
the song
Pride.
Being called Boy. I didn't even listen to it yet.
Me either. I just know that one part. Also, I don't love the line that's like, I know it's not what any of you want to hear. It's it's a little demeaning to your fans when you've branded your entire stardom on being gay.
Well, it's also interesting because, like, I've had conversations with people about our, you know, thoughts on Taylor and her and whether or not she's had experiences. And they have been so quick to say, no. None of her music is like, that's not true. Like, whatever. And they throw names like Fletcher in the pot to be like, this, like, she would sing songs like, hello.
Also,
I think it's interesting that the triangle
here between Miss Taylor, Miss Ballerini, and Miss Fletcher is lost on me.
Oh, no. I mean, isn't that the night that we got the photos of the...
Yeah, and it was like, what is going on here? What is going on here?
Yeah, no, that was an interesting night of photos. But anywho, I digress.
I miss that Taylor, by the way. I love Taylor now, but, like, I really do miss, like, just pure artsy Taylor. I think that Travis gets her into these, like, normie situations. Like, I think that's fun, and it's cool to see her like that. But I do miss when she was, like, strictly friends with artists.
Well, here's my question. Do you think, because, like, we're getting these dinners that look like she is sitting very close to other people who don't even seem fazed that she's there. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, do you think she's just going to start, like, going out to the point that
we don't care, like, anymore?
Yeah. Like, is she just going to make her life normal? Because everyone's like, oh, she shouldn't go to the wedding. It's like, I'm like, that is the exact thing she's singing about, an anti-hero. She says, too big to hang out. Yeah. Slowly lurching towards your favorite city.
I wonder if, because, like, Travis is from, like, I mean, I know he and Jason are famous, but, like, everybody else in that family is so low profile, whereas, like,
but what's weird is Travis has never been low profile, and he's never wanted that.
So used to hanging out with, like, I'm comparing this wedding to Jack Antonoff's wedding, and it's, like, obviously when they knew she was going to be there, it drew a lot of crowds, but at the same time, it still was a celebrity wedding, and there were other celebrities there. So, like, it wasn't just Taylor hysteria. It was, like, star hysteria.
Right.
I don't know. I think it'd be really scary for her to do that.
I do too.
So I don't necessarily know if I see that for her, but I could be wrong.
It's just so fascinating. Well, I think we need to get into Love Island because there's a lot to discuss and I want to make sure we don't run out of time. So guys, starting our Love Island talk now, if you have not watched, I mean, the formula still works. It is such good TV. And these people, they have got some crazy fucking people in that villa. How do they find them? And can I say something? Almost every person that goes in that villa, I'm like, I think you're kind of a weirdo. Like, I guess you would have to be a little weird to go on the show. My favorites are Shelly and Alandria. I think Shelly is my all-time favorite.
She is my favorite.
Did you watch last night's episode?
Well, I haven't finished it, but I watched the part where she's like, and I sing.
Oh, it's so fun. I was about to be like, no.
Caroline, I know that we were sitting on the couch having the exact same reaction.
Biting our nails. Like, don't, like, no, you please, dare don't. Open your mouth
do
and
not
sing.
Sing. Do not sing. Do not
do
sing.
Do not.
But
do
you
not.
Know what my favorite moment so far of
Wait,
the whole show?
We got to tell people in case they didn't see. She didn't end up singing. She goes, well, I sing. And he's like, what? You sing? And she's like, yeah, you want to hear something? I was like, holy shit. She did not just say that. Oh, my God.
Of Hannah Marin. And
I'm like, she's shooting her shot. She's like, I'm on national television. Yeah, you want to hear something? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, she just starts, like, making it a joke and immediately starts laughing. And it was so funny.
I don't know if I necessarily want them together, but I do think it's a good sign that she, or maybe this is just how Shelly is, but, like, feeling that comfortable with someone to, like, make that joke so early is really endearing about her. But my favorite moment of the show so far was when Sierra was talking to Ace for the first time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, where's, like, somewhere you want to travel in the world? And she goes, well, Egypt, because my favorite book is The Alchemist.
Oh!
And Ace goes,
I love The Alchemist.
I'm like, Ace.
Ace. Like, totally love it for you if you really do.
Just what happens when she asks kind of you a question?
Who's picking up the
and
Alchemist?
And it's also like, it's not like you met someone in a bar and they said their favorite book was The Alchemist and you can go home and pick up a copy.
Yeah.
You are locked in this place. So what if she's like, oh, what, me and Ace like this book.
Yeah.
Ace, what's your
what if she
part?
Gives you a comprehension quiz? You don't know. You don't know this girl. You don't know what she's capable of.
When I texted you that thing about Sierra not necessarily feeling like she totally belongs, listen, she's down for the dirty part of this of Love Island.
Yeah,
she's down
sure.
to get down. But when she has conversations with these men, I'm like, the way she's so like soft spoken in a way where like it seems like she's being very thoughtful with her words. She seems like she thinks very deeply and like probably thinks of herself as a bit more intellectual than maybe some of the others in the villa. That's where I'm like, what are you going to do with one of these men?
She's leading with it too, where it's almost like that's how she wants to make her connections. And I'm like, these guys, they're just
Nick is case in point, by the way.
Nick, I don't get it. Hey,
no, I don't get it. I only watched a little bit of After Sun, and when one of the girls was like, I would drink his bath water.
Selly said it. I was like, Selly, shut the fuck up. I love Selly. I was like, you stop it, Selly. You're better than that. I don't think he's attractive. Mm-mm. I don't think that he's funny. I don't think that he's cool. I think it was so transparent when Bella, who initially started the season saying, I will only be kissed on the cheek, when she decided to go for it during the challenge and make out with everybody, and that is what changed his mind, and not even like made him pick her. That was what brought her and Sierra back to 50-50. It could go either way.
Saying
like,
those
Bella,
words
love yourself
to like, one of the girls that you're talking. Well, now we're at like 50-50, I would say. But balls in my court.
I am sad that Bella left, just because she was a character I could, if you paid me $1,000,000, I could never guess what was going to come out of her mouth next. And half of the things are not, you can't find them in like the Oxford English Dictionary. Like I loved the moment where someone said, oh, I don't know what they said to her, but they're talking. And she goes, yay you. And I was like, what is yay you?
She's you so fucking yeah? funny.
Yay you. I was like, what the fuck. And then like, okay, that's how it is. That's how it's gonna be. Okay. I was like, what? Where? Then she goes in the confessional and she sounds totally different.
It's like where?
I was just like, what is happening? Who are you? And how did you end up here? I want to know how the conversations with casting and with the producers.
I honestly think maybe they were a little bit interested to see how it would go with someone who was a little bit more reserved in that way. But I'm like, okay, I know we were like, for the first two episodes, we were like, this girl is so reserved. She's not that reserved.
Also, like, no. But I kind of felt bad for her after that moment, because there was a moment where I was like, oh no. Like, I hope that she made that decision like on her own because she really wanted to like have that experience, and not because she felt so pressured and she's gonna go home and fucking hate herself. Mm-hmm. And like her family's gonna
this
be like,
entire
what the
conversation,
hell was that?
I've
like,
been
you know?
Trying to rack my brain on whether I had this, whether I forgot that we talked a little bit about Love Island on Thursday's episode. Yeah. And so I was like,
well, we talked about it after recording.
No, so I think some of it was on the recording. But I was like, when we were just talking about Nick and everything, I was like, who did I talk to about this? How did they have the same exact thoughts and words as Caroline?
Well,
but let me just tell you something. Love Island is, and I missed this, it's the great equalizer. It's like sports for everyone. You know what I mean? Like when I went to a party and then we went out after, and it's like, it doesn't matter we were with like a group of people. I didn't really know some of the people. Mm-hmm. And that's an immediate, like, are you watching Love Island?
Common ground.
And if you are, it's like, okay, we immediately have a ton to talk about.
Lots to chat about. No, I agree. And I love scrolling Twitter during a Love Island season because people are so fucking funny, but like you can't go on there until you have seen the episode, unless you're watching
it. The second it turns 9 p.m., they've already watched it.
Yes.
In case you're
wondering. Talk about Huda. I at first, like, and I mean first episode, I was like, oh, she seems fun. Like, she's kind of giving me like Selly vibes, actually.
And I think
very
she wanted
quickly,
to be. I think she wanted to be.
She wanted to
Leah.
Be the Leah. She wanted to be the standout. She is my least favorite at this time. I can't stand her. I think she is sneaky as fuck, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, this girl lies so easily, and like it's nothing. Like, I'm talking about the challenge where they all have the blindfolds on and everyone gets up, and I'm like, okay, again, that was what, day two? This is Love Island. This is the point of the show. She got up to go kiss Ace, and I feel like they're having like a little secret, like even on the other game when he was on the base,
when
and
he was
she went over,
that stuff.
Like it felt like their kiss was a little bit more like they were really going to make the most of it because they don't actually get to kiss in the villa, but like they like each other. And anyway, she got up and kissed him and lied about it to Jeremiah. Now, here's the thing. I don't really give a fuck if you're lying to him. What surprised me was the ease with which she did it and continued to do it, doubling down on
to
it.
Everyone.
Telling the girls, like everybody, as if she's not watched the show. Like, do you not think that a girl from Casa or a Bombshell is going to come in and blow up your spot? Do you not think they're going to show videos during movie night. Like, because at that point, what it's going to tell Jeremiah is that you can't be trusted. And he's just going to second guess everything you say to him. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal until you lied about it. Now it's weird. And now it makes me think that you have no problem lying like it's nothing, looking him in the eyes over and over and over again. He gave you so many chances to tell the truth. I just think he would have been less mad if you just told him than he will be when he finds out you lied. And then we add to it the daughter thing. I think it's so fascinating that she was like, well, I want to make sure I can really trust him before I tell him. Girl, you should be leading with that. You should be leading with that because she created a situation where he had no choice but to respond well. Like, if he
had responded negatively, he's on
national television. He's going to be lambasted, canceled, all these things because he wasn't into it immediately. But she set him up to like trap him kind of. And it's like, I don't believe that the people who are going on this show, one, have any interest in being parents at this time in their life, except for, I guess, Hoda. And two, I don't believe that they have to. Like, I don't think because you guys like each other that Jeremiah has to be ready to be a daddy. Like, I just don't think that's what that means. And for her to, like, make him close off this way so that no one else will even entertain it, talk to him, none of that. And then to tell the secret, it's like he doesn't have any other options. You've put him on an island now. So if he wasn't cool with it, he needs a whole new person to come in. And we saw how well that went. Like, we saw how Huda, I mean, she acted like a child when she's flicking off the camera. It's a fucking challenge.
And by the way, you're currently lying about a different challenge where you also kissed other people.
Exactly. I'm just like, I think it's crazy. I'm not liking her eyelashes. I can't tell if they're extensions, fake or real, but they're too much.
Is this especially like, I feel like sometimes this happens on this show where they kind of treat it like The Bachelor in terms of how they pack. So like if it's fake, whether it's fake lashes or extensions, yeah, she planned for it when she packed. And then you forget that basically most of the show is just you, like you're dirty, like you've been at the beach all day. Like that.
Yes. And it looks kind of ridiculous. I'm like, I have no idea like what you actually look like. I also don't like how she's like weaponizing the daughter information where Sierra gets there and she's like, you don't know this yet, but I'm a mother. As in like, how dare you, you know, how dare anybody disrespect me? I'm a mother. You know, it's like, it doesn't make you more of a girl's girl. You actually seem like such a pick me bitch. There.
My final don't thought like is I think it's so fucking funny that Austin's match is based on meditation. I haven't finished last night yet, but I do just think it's so funny that they connect over meditating and then they're meditating the next day together.
Are you talking about what's her name? Amaya?
The bombshell, one of them.
He doesn't end up matching with her.
Can you not spoil things?
Well, sorry. I'm just saying it because I don't want people are going to say something when they hear this. That's not, which surprised me. But I also, I'm like, okay, so obviously Lisa was sent the hell out of there and Phoebe and I were cracking up texting about like how this happened. I'm like, no, they showed up with a stick, started beating her. They're like, get up, get up. Your time on the island is done. Like, I just am imagining.
We find out
no one has talked about her at all.
Ian's not actually Scottish. He's speaking with a full American accent.
He's like, you, Lisa, get up. We're like, whoa.
Who are you?
Who's that? Who is this man? And a lot of people were wondering why Austin is still there. Now, I don't know if he has as damning content out there. Yulisa has videos of her saying the N-word repeatedly.
I think for Austin, it's more what I've seen. It's his reposts. But also, I saw someone say on Twitter that they think maybe, because you remember last year when they like, they had to tell them to like turn their microphone, like something, someone did say something in the villa last year that I feel like wasn't good. So someone was like, maybe she was saying it a lot during like when they were in the villa, and it was creating, number one, that's problematic. Number two, if she's saying it as frequently as she was in that clip, it would be impossible to edit the show.
Right.
So
true. And some people also took issue with her dressing the first night.
Oh yeah, that is one thing I have.
Some cultural appropriation
for production because they have to approve everything that people wear.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, I saw a TikTok saying, like, did they sabotage her on purpose? Like, did they let her go out? Like, yeah, wear this
look. I feel like they approve, like, they say you can't have any, like, labels, brands, things like that. But, like, I feel like they could have approved the dress and not thought that she was going to, like, put chopsticks in her hair. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she took it to this other level. Austin, I was kind of happy they kept him so I could see for my favorite number, which is the number game. Or my favorite game, which is the number game, where they show everyone's numbers. I was like, you know what? Hell yeah. I want everyone to see that you've sent thousands of dick pics, and that checks out.
It would have been kind of boring if he hadn't been there, because everybody else was like,
his numbers were the most shocking. But it was like
everybody else was like pretty perfect. Tame. I felt like,
and the double standard, I will never get over. Literally, that game.
When they're like, how did you feel about Huda having
sex with two guys in one
and
day?
It's like, what?
And I know, I really think it's so gross when they're like, what's an appropriate number for your body count for your girl? It's like, whatever her number is, that's what an appropriate number is. It's really none of your business. But imagine being on this fucking show and like, oh, one girl posted that Nick is her ex. And when it said that he had cheated zero times and he was like, I've actually cheated once and I really owned it. But first of all, I'm like, Nick, you didn't have to do that. No. If they were gonna let it be zero, you could have just let it be zero. But his ex posted that's how she found out he cheated. She's like, oh, okay. I was right. He did cheat on me. Okay, great. Just found out. That's the only kind of my ex is on Love Island thing that I'm interested in.
Right. Wait, someone was commenting on, it might have been Nick, but what's her name? Andrea, I think, from last season. Was comment, or maybe, yeah, her. Did you see the comment I'm talking about? She like commented about how hot someone was. Or who was the girl who came kind of late and was like, then when she got kicked off, she kept going on live and everybody was like, girl, you're doing too much.
No, that was Andrea.
Okay, I think it was her then. She like commented and was like, she's trying to get involved in this season somehow.
Girl, stay out of it. Why do you want? There's no way she doesn't have PTSD. I mean, people were so mean to her. Okay, we've got to close this so we can do our rotations and finish up this ep. But on the podcast, on the Patreon, we're going to talk about the Blake and Baldoni stuff. We're
going to talk about the Summer House
exits. Yes, who we're going to be seeing next season, if we'll be watching. We're going to talk about the new information we've uncovered about Paige and Craig and their breakup, but also what went down during their relationship. We'll talk about Next Gen, which you guys, we are loving. It feels like if Gossip Girl was a reality show and it was actually real in 2025.
Oh, yeah, we do have to talk about that on the podcast because
I'm loving it. I absolutely loving it. Excited for another episode. So if you're not watching, you definitely should. It's, I think, Tuesdays on Bravo, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about The Valley and lots of other things. So make sure you tune into that on sometime this weekend or next week. If you could also leave us a 5-star review, that would be really, really, really great. That would really help us out, you guys, like a lot. And make sure to go buy some Pride merch to support Trevor Project. All right, let's do our rotations. You are on Dream.
First is Wolf Blitzer. Kill me.
Okay.
I love the man. I think he's so fucking funny. He's so matter of fact about everything he says. One of my favorite things about Wolf Blitzer is every time he says where he went to school, he says the whole name. He says, I went to the John Hopkins University School of Advanced Mathematics and whatever. Like the whole. He says,
wow.
Yeah. Even if he's just like slipping it into conversation, he's like, when I was at school, he says, when I was at the Johns Hopkins School.
He's like, I have time for all of the syllables. Yes. Math.
Like he says the whole thing. It's so funny. Second is the concept of Paul Revere.
Okay.
So fucking I love how anytime there's news spread, people will post that picture of Paul Revere. Like, going and like holding
Taylor bought back her masters.
Like,
yeah,
to all of my like employed friends being the person to no, say literally. That Taylor bought her masters back, her that Lord is back, all these things.
Next pod photo shoot, you and me on a horse in Boston.
Okay, perfect. Well, here's with the a thing. Lantern. This is why this ended up here because I was like somehow at dinner a couple weeks ago, Paul Revere, the anniversary of Paul Revere came up, like the thing when he did that thing. And I was talking again. I was like, man, how do you ever think about how little about Boston we probably know about? Like when you think about the Paul Revere day tied to the chocolate shop that we didn't know about until we were all well out of our childhood. It's like dad is gatekeeping all of these things that would have made us be like, no, we got to get to Boston. Sorry.
Okay. Connell girls trip to Boston. And we do it our way.
Sorry, I have to go camp in front of the Paul Revere house and watch him say goodbye to his wife so he can go tell us that the British are coming. Dad, like, what do you mean you didn't think I'd be interested in that? That's that's theater. That's
theater. That's cinema even.
And you're telling me that he, like, actually rides his horse throughout the streets of Boston like he would have in the 1700s? Like, what the hell? Anyway, so the idea of being the town's gossip
crier.
Who, like, gets to ride a horse and, like, tell everybody what's happening. Love it.
Town crier actually is a hilarious merch idea. Just saying.
That's another tier of our listeners.
Yeah, that's the town criers. If you're responsible for listening to this and then reporting back to your friends on our findings, first of all, they should be listening.
It's that gif. It's that picture of Paul Revere, the person on the Paul Revere horse is the town crier, and then the person in the window is the speculator.
Absolutely.
Because they're at home, they got to be home ready to do the work.
Right.
But you're out there on the hunt for the information.
Right. What's your next one?
And my last one is Cola Scola. Congratulations on your Tony win.
Love, 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 love. I also love that they recreated Bernadette Peters' look. That was
like,
so
can you
I
believe
got it.
Like, so, also, I had to explain it that last night. So I was good. Like, listen, this is
this
art.
This is
and you might
culture
not understand
and camp.
It.
And if you don't get it, that's not my problem.
And the fact that now we get side, it's like the fact that they won and we get the side by side of Bernadette Peters holding her Tony.
I know.
And Cola Scola holding their Tony.
What a moment. Okay, my nightmare rotation. First up, I'm going to put Hoda from Love Island. Girl, you are bugging me. Okay, there I said it. Number two, bugs. Bugs, bugs, bugs. It's summertime. That means the mosquitoes are out. The skeeters are out. I hate mosquito bites. I hate bugs. It takes away my enjoyment of the outdoors. Okay, I don't even enjoy the outdoors that much, but the bugs make it that much worse. So summer is next. And then I think the third person, place, or thing on my nightmare rotation is probably mucus. It's probably mucus because you guys, is there anything worse when you start coughing and it's like, oh, there he is. Oh, there. And it's a man, of course.
It was Mr. Mucinex.
Oh, there he is. Mr. Mucinex. Well, Mr. Mucinex is gonna. Oh, it's the Mr. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Yeah, you're thinking of the mucus, not Mr. Mucinex when you say that, but that's
I
okay.
I think his name is Mr.
Tomato,
Mucinex.
Tomato. Really, why would the big glob of mucus be named Mr. Mucinex if Mucinex is built to fight the glob of mucus?
Because.
Use your brain.
Holy shit. Oh.
Use your brain. Mucus. And if an honorable mention, my sister Phoebe, who still has not said, Caroline, you're a good singer.
Caroline,
okay,
you guys.
You
know
you're
a good singer. I know you're a good singer. Everyone knows you're a good singer.
It would just be nice to hear it from my sister sometimes.
You're a great singer.
She never wants to do any music stuff with me because she doesn't
Caroline,
like my voice.
You made that up.
I actually talked to this about, I talked to Michelle about this like last week.
Caroline,
I was like, Phoebe doesn't like think I'm a good singer.
Okay, Caroline, the reason I don't like doing
don't
music stuff isn't because I don't think you're a good singer. It's because I don't really play the guitar like that.
I don't like Taylor Swift doing better than Revenge Slut Shaming version. Whatever. All right, learn, okay? All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Go check out our new Emily Field Isn't Boring Pride merch. 50% of those proceeds go to The Trevor Project. Amazing. Give us a 5-star review. Listen to our episode on Thursday. We're recapping season 7, episode 7 of Pretty Little Liars. It's a really fun episode. Really, really action-packed. We had a lot of great, great stuff in there. And then we'll have a Patreon episode up for our first tier at some point that we'll talk all things pop culture that we didn't get to cover here. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love
you. There's a chance that episode you my friends, there's a chance that episode might come out at a weird time, but it will be out. You will get 3 episodes in June.
We are on a bit of a recording marathon and my computer officially shit the bed, I think. So that's kind of what we're working with this June. All right. Feels hateful. All right, guys. Love you so much. We will see you next week.
And splat.
And splat.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.